Thank you for tuning in to the Royals in Action broadcast today. Your participation means a lot to us. The essence of this program is to educate you on how to apply the Word of God practically to bring about positive outcomes in your daily situations. And joining us for this insightful journey is R.K. Achina.
Can I get a big amen? We bless God. Beloved, we are still pressing into our series, Talking Yourself Into It the Right Way. Talking yourself into it the right way. We've been talking about things that block our decrees, things that hinder our declarations. Last time we learned about fear, we learned about unbelief, and we learned about a lot of things. Today we'll be looking at how your tongue, as small as it is, has the supernatural power to chart the course of your entire life. It's not just external events or the depth of your faith that shapes your life's direction. No. It's how you handle the words you speak. Those play a major role too. Amen. So I need you to be honest with me this morning. Let's be honest. Sometimes it's not just fear or unbelief that gets in the way. Sometimes it's our own mouth that gets in the way. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:23, that whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. How true. Come on, how true is that? I honestly believe that we could cut out 75% of our lifetime's problems if we just learned to put a bridle on our mouths. Imagine how many divorces could have been avoided if we just communicated with a little more grace and a little less heat. Imagine how many lawsuits we would have prevented if we had just kept our mouths shut at the right moment. Imagine how many friends we could have saved if we hadn't let anger or gossip slip out in those frustrating moments. Imagine how many job losses we could have avoided if we'd simply paused to consider our words in that meeting. Beloved, I could go on and on and on, but whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Most people stand here and decree God's promises with boldness, with audacity, but then walk out those doors and start speaking the exact opposite. I'm talking to you. Every time we pray for healing, but when the symptoms kick in, we turn to things around and give into our five carnal senses. And then we align with how we are feeling. And then we say, I'll never get better. I'll never get better. We declare breakthroughs here. But when you go home, we tell our friends, nothing ever works out for me. Do you know what you are doing, beloved? Do you know what you are doing? You are planting good seed in the morning and then digging it up with your words by afternoon. How do you expect to get a harvest? How do you expect to get a miracle? Beloved, we do the same thing with our mouths. The Bible says in the book of James chapter 3 that the tongue is like a small rudder steering a big ship. One minute we are steering toward faith, the next moment we are steering toward doubt. The verse 3 says that we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us and we turn their whole body. That's how words work, They may seem small, but they have the power to affect everything in your life. Your words can affect your body. Your words can affect your actions. Your words can even affect where you are headed in life. Am I talking to you, somebody? I always say that we are our own worst enemy. It's not our enemies. It's not our frenemies. It's not even our families. It is us. We are the problem. We nullify what we just decreed by letting negativity, letting sarcasm, letting hopelessness slip out of our mouths. Is somebody with me this morning? See, God's word is powerful. It will not and will never return to God void. It will actually accomplish whatever he pleases, and it will prosper in the thing for which it was sent. Are you with me? God's word will always produce. God's word will always produce. That's not the problem. The problem is that we keep on doing the good things we say. Oh, somebody, you don't get it. Beloved, if you want to see what you decree established, you've got to let your everyday words reflect what you are believing God for. If you are declaring breakthroughs and favor, let your language reflect that conviction, even in the privacy of your room where no one is watching. Because what you decree today, you must sustain with consistency tomorrow. Aish. Somebody, you don't get it. You cannot pray for open doors today and afterwards confess with your mouth, "Nothing ever works for me." No. You are nullifying your prayers. You are activating the forces of the spirit realm with your voice, such that what you say consistently becomes your reality, whether you realize it or not. The truth is, your mouth can either build the future you are praying for or tear it down before it even gets started. From today onward, I need you to become vigilant of your declarations. Let your words work for you and not against you. Amen. Oh, amen. So that is that. There is another way we can actually hinder what we decree, and it's all about how we pray. How we pray. Have you ever found yourself praying the same thing over and over again, almost as if you are not sure God heard you the first time? Yep, most people have. In fact, I know a lot of people do that. Sometimes the idea is just to bug God, to just bug him. It's just to disturb him with the same prayers. You never know, right? Maybe if you keep knocking, if you keep disturbing God, he will finally get tired of hearing the same prayers again and again and just give in and answer your prayers. That's how a lot of people see it. Sometimes the idea is that if you say it enough times, you are reminding God as if God forgets about anything, you know? And sometimes, if you are honest, the idea is that repeating the prayer helps us feel like we are still in control. You know what I mean? Like we are doing something instead of just waiting and trusting God. You know? But the truth is, what that repetition does is to actually reveal more about our worries than our faith. The Bible says it is the prayer of faith that heals the sick, not repeated prayers. Yes, not repeated prayers. Many of us are trapped in endless cycles of prayer, not because we believe God is deaf, but because we are serving our own fears. We are serving our own fears. Sometimes we pray and pray, and after hours, we get up more worried than we even started. We get up more worried than where we started. Listen to me, beloved. It's not the volume or the emotions or the frequency of your prayer that moves the hand of God. What matters, brothers and sisters, is the faith we have in the one that we are praying to. So that's why in the Bible, you never see Jesus engage in unnecessary drama before performing miracles. He would always look at the situation and simply declare, "Be healed of your infirmity," and immediately healing follows. Let me reveal a mystery to you. You know, one sentence infused with genuine faith is more powerful and effective than 6 hours of repeating, "Oh God, help me, Heba. Oh God, help me, Heba. Oh God, help me." Oh, somebody don't get it. Jesus said in Matthew 6:7, he said, "And praying, ye may not use vain repetition like the nations, for they think that in their much speaking they shall be heard." Oh, somebody. Beloved, there is a difference. There is a big difference between the prayer of faith and vain repetitions, between the prayer of faith and repetitive prayers. The prayer of faith says, "God heard me the first time, and I trust him to bring it to pass." That's the prayer of faith. I do not need to remind him. I do not need to beg him. I do not need to keep resending my request to him. All that I will do is to thank him that he's bringing the promise to pass in my life. Amen. I need you to rest in the prayer of faith. Let's rest in God's promises. That's how the kingdom of God works. Don't be like the child, you know, who asks their parents for something and the parents say, "Oh yes, baby, I'll take care of it, don't worry about it." But instead of resting in that answer, the child keeps, you know, calling their mom, you know, keep reminding their parents, keep reminding their father, you know, all over and all over again. You need to trust that when you prayed the first time, God heard you. God heard you. 1 John 5:14 says that this is the confidence that we have approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears us. If you want to see what you decree established, you have to learn to rest in this promise that if we ask anything according to his will, God hears us. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So that is it, how we pray. Now, there is still another way our decrees can be hindered beside fear, unbelief, our mouths, and vain repetitions. The faith hindrance to your decree coming to pass, write it down, is when your own heart condemns you. When your own heart condemns you. I call it the voice of a condemning conscience. You know, I'm talking about the voice of a condemning conscience. I'm talking about those voices that you hear when you are praying. You know what I mean? You know, the moment when you are in the middle of prayer and you are declaring God's promises, you know, trying to stand on the word of God, and then all of a sudden there is this nagging voice in your head whispering to you, "Who are you to ask for that? Don't you remember what you did yesterday? Don't you remember what you did to God? Didn't you deny Jesus 2 days ago? Didn't you go back on your promises to stop stealing, to stop drinking, to stop fornicating? You messed up again, and now you think you can just come into God's presence and ask for a blessing? No, sir. No, ma'am. You are going to reap what you sow. That's the kind of voice I'm talking about. The voice of a condemning conscience. The voice of a condemning conscience. It's like a judge in your own mind, replaying your failures, replaying your past sins, reminding you of every mistake, every broken promise, every time you said never again and then did it again. You know, he's reminding you of how you are unworthy and how you are disqualified to even pray to God. That's the voice of a condemning conscience. The Bible talks about this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. Verse 20 to 21. It says, if our hearts condemns us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. It continues to say, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Beloved, sometimes it's not the devil, it's not your neighbor, it's not the witches in your family, it's not even your circumstances that's the problem. Sometimes it's your own conscience that's blocking your testimony. Sometimes it's just your own heart that's telling you don't deserve this. Don't even bother asking it. Sometimes these are the kind of voices that we hear. Look at the story of Jesus and the paralytic in Mark chapter 2 verse 5. The Bible says, Jesus saw their faith, the paralytic and his friends, how they had enough faith to tear the roof off and lower him down in front of Jesus. But even with all that faith, the miracle was still stuck. Something was blocking the release, and it wasn't a lack of faith. No. It was the paralytic's own conscience. In his mind, he was probably thinking, how can I expect a miracle when I know I have sinned? How can I believe for healing when I'm carrying all this guilt? But as soon as Jesus looked at him and said, son, your sins are forgiven, the blockage was gone. The weight that was on him, it was lifted, and his faith was released. Suddenly, this paralytic man could receive his breakthrough. Suddenly, this man could rise up and walk, not just because of his faith, but because his conscience was clear. When your heart is pure, when your heart is doing the right thing, God, the miracles that you are expecting from God, it comes to pass because your conscience is clear. You know, sometimes when your heart isn't pure, when you are carrying guilt, shame, unconfessed sin, it's hard to pray with boldness. It's hard to pray with audacity. It's hard to pray with confidence. It's like trying to make a phone call with a bad connection. It's very, very frustrating. You're going to keep wondering, like, if your words are even getting through. But the good news is, God is greater than your heart. God is greater than our hearts. He invites us to come clean, to keep a pure conscience, so we can stand before him with confidence. Can I get a big amen? Amen. So sometimes the breakthrough you are waiting for isn't about more faith or louder prayers. It's about living a holy life. Amen. It's about pursuing righteousness. It's about obeying God's word and keeping a pure conscience. And not only that, it's also about letting Jesus silence the voice of condemnation in your heart, so you can stand before God with confidence and receive what is already promised. Hallelujah. Beloved, we are still talking about talking yourself into it the right way. Now, I don't want us to just talk about this. I want us to do it. Amen. I want us to do it. Let's get practical for a moment. I want you to think about one area in your life right now where you know you need to talk yourself into it the right way. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's your career, your health, your family, your finances, your weaknesses, or even your faith itself. I don't want to just pick something random. No. This is a spiritual exercise. So I want you to pick that one thing that has been weighing on your heart for days now, for months now, for years now. Yes, pick that place where you've been tempted to give up, where you've been tempted to settle for less. Are we on the same page? Good. Now, here's what we are going to do. I want you to take a deep breath, and instead of just repeating what you wish would happen, I want you to anchor your words in God's promise. I want you to anchor that particular thing in God's promise. This is a very serious exercise. If you need to open your Bible or pull up a scripture on your phone, find God's word for your situation. Come on, find God's word. It doesn't matter wherever you are. Find God's word. And right where you are, I want you to quietly, or even under your breath, begin to speak that promise over your life. Not just as a wish, but as a decree. Amen? But as a decree. I want you to do that for me. Now, if I were struggling to pay my tuition fees or rent, I could say something like this. I could say, Lord, I align my heart with your word. Your word says you have given me all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I declare that I have all things in Jesus' name. I declare that I have access to the money to pay my rent or tuition fees in Jesus' name. Your word says I have all things. Therefore, I believe I have all things. I don't care how hopeless my situation looks. I don't care about what I am seeing with my physical eyes. I don't care about what I am hearing. I don't care about the pressure. All I have right now is your word. Your word says, you know the plans that you have for me. Plans to prosper me and not to harm me. Plans to give me hope and a future. I call myself prosperous in the mighty name of Jesus. This situation will never last in Jesus' name, because this is not God's hope for me. This is not God's future for me. I declare that I have the money to pay my fees. I declare that I have the money to pay my rent in Jesus' name. I stand on your promise. I refuse to let fear, I refuse to let unbelief, I refuse to let my own words sabotage what you want to do in my life. I talk myself into faith. I talk myself into hope. I talk myself into abundance in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is how you talk yourself into it the right way. Not by empty words, but by anchoring your declaration and the unshakable word of God. This is what we call declaration. This is what Joshua calls meditation. He said, the book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, the Hebrew word used there for meditate is hagar, which means to mutter, to utter, to speak in a low voice, or to speak under one's breath. It continues to say that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. In other words, Joshua is saying, don't just read the word, say it out loud. Say it out loud. Let it become the soundtrack of your day. If you are struggling with unforgiveness and find it very hard to forgive your dad, to forgive your mom who traumatized you, to forgive that uncle who abused you in the past, you have to use the word. Make the word the soundtrack of your day. When you wake up in the morning, you quote Matthew 6:14, saying, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Father, I wish I did not want to forgive that wicked man. I wish I did not want to forgive that wicked woman. But if I don't forgive them, you won't forgive me. And so I forgive them in Jesus' name. Amen. In the afternoon, when you are buying groceries, Father, I forgive them so you can forgive me. In the evening, when you are going to bed, Father, I forgive them so you can forgive me. Why? Because there is a connection between what you say, what you believe, and what you do. Joshua says, "Meditate on it day and night, so that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it." He's connecting your confession to your actions. He's showing us that the journey from transformation doesn't start in your hands, it starts in your mouth. Ah, somebody, you are not understanding. Is somebody catching the revelation? Joshua is giving you the secret to changing your life, to changing your personality, to changing your situation. The secret is speaking forth the word, because when you speak forth God's word, it gets into your heart. The Bible says the word is nigh you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. Notice the other. It is in your mouth and then in your heart. You speak it, and as you keep speaking it, it drops down into your heart. And when it gets into your heart, it starts to shape your beliefs, your attitudes, your expectations. And when your heart is full of God's word, your actions starts to line up. You start to live differently. You start to walk differently. You start to respond differently. And it is not because you are trying harder, but because the word has taken root inside you. Is somebody with me? That's the pardon from your mouth to your heart and to your actions. That's how you talk yourself into it the right way, by letting God's word transform you from the inside out. I know some of you walked in here today carrying serious issues, serious problems that might remain even when you leave church today. Problems that follow you from dawn to dusk. You probably woke up this morning and before your feet even hit the floor, anxiety, stress, frustration was already there waiting for you, telling you all the things that could go wrong. There is hope for you today. You are here watching me right now. You have a mountain of bills, a mountain of debts that's weighing on you right now, and you don't seem to figure out how you can face this problem. There is hope for you today. Maybe you are here waiting on a doctor's report, or you are wondering if your marriage, if your children, if your dreams will ever be whole again. There is hope for you today. Some of you are out there working hard, giving it everything that you've got, but it feels like you are running on a treadmill. You are moving, you are sweating, but you are not getting anywhere. And by the time evening comes, you are so tired, you can barely pray, let alone believe for something better. You lay your head on the pillow, and instead of peace, your mind starts replaying every worry, every regret, and every what if. There is hope for you today. I need you to start talking yourself into it. I need you to let God's word be louder than your worries. When you wake up and the weight tries to settle on your shoulders, don't just let the day happen to you. Open your mouth and declare, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Even if you don't feel it yet, you need to say it until your heart starts to catch up. When you are out there and you are working and discouragement tries to creep in, maybe your boss is on your case, maybe the sales aren't coming in, maybe you feel invisible, remind yourself that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's guiding me, He's providing for me, even when I can't see it. In the afternoon, when the pressure becomes too much and you feel like you're about to break, say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Use that as your battle cry when you are feeling weak. At night, if your day was disappointing or you feel you failed, you say to yourself, my guardian never sleeps or slumbers. I am safe in his hands. His mercies are new every morning. Let it be the first thing you hear in the morning. In the afternoon, let the words be your sense of calm in the midst of the chaos. In the evening, let the calming presence of God's word carry you to sleep. That's how you talk yourself into it, because when you fill your day with God's promises, you are not just surviving, you are setting yourself up for a huge testimony. Can I get a big amen? Oh, I'm excited.
Thank you for joining us in this enlightening journey today. Before we wrap up, subscribe to our podcast so you're kept in the loop about our next amazing episodes. To join our community or support our ministry, click the link in the description or visit royalsinaction.org. Until next time, Royals in Action is here to remind you to embrace your destiny as a chosen channel of God's royalty. God bless you.